Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Are you tired of advertisements? You can listen to this episode and more ad-free for only $1 a month by supporting the show on Patreon. Visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and hit the Patreon tab for more details. Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the program. I'm super happy that you decided to join us this evening. Now, this is the point where I usually tell you we have an amazing show lined up for this evening. And we just might. The issue here is that I just don't know yet. Because tonight is yet another grab bag episode. I kind of ran out of time this week. It's the end of the season and had a medical procedure this week that, yeah, don't worry, everything's fine. Just a lot going on and, well, I'm pressed for time. And instead of skipping this week and playing a Beyond episode or something, we're just going to throw some calls out there and see what we get. So to kick us off this evening, we begin in the state of Florida. Stephanie, welcome to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. This is Stephanie from the Tampa area again. Been waiting to tell you this story, and I got permission to relate it to you. This story takes place in northern Michigan, but it actually happened in Farmington Hills, Michigan, the principals. So my husband's family lives in northern Michigan here, and his cousin owns a gallery, an art gallery. And when she has customers in her gallery, she, you know, likes to chit-chat with them and ask them where they're from and things like that. And last summer, she discovered that a customer came in and she was talking about where she was from. And she said, well, we used to live in Farmington Hills. So when they're talking, they found out that they both lived in the same house. Now, here's the weird thing about the house. My husband said it was really spooky to go stay there and be in when he was a kid. And his cousin that owns the art gallery, her brother, used to see an old woman in this big mirror that was on the landing on their staircase and was terrified of her, just terrified as this image appeared to him and scared the heck out of him. So in the course of this conversation, and they discovered they lived in this exact same house, and the patron said, oh my gosh, we had to move out though. My son is very autistic and he would just scream and was terrified and kept saying stuff about the old lady in the mirror, the old lady in the mirror. And then he was so disturbed from living in the house and was so distraught that eventually they sold the property for that reason and moved out. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of an interesting little spooky synchronicity. And hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. The same house. What a coincidence. Seriously, what are the chances of that? Seems pretty slim to me. But not slim enough that it doesn't happen, because obviously, well, it did. And how about that validation? Two different kids. two different generations. The same spooky old lady reported. That's some spooky stuff and one hell of a way to kick off this grab bag episode. So thank you again, Stephanie, for taking the time to call in. Now, another element of the grab bag series is minimal commentary. You'll hear very little from me throughout this episode, which means you get more calls. Calls like this one, from Anonymous, in parts unknown.
Hi, Derek and everybody at the Monsters Among Us group. I really appreciate everything you all do. Your podcast is our family's favorite. We all love to listen to it. And I just have a quick story. It's not very long, but it's pretty interesting. Back when my husband and I were dating, we were 21. We're 38 at the time now, so that gives you an idea of the time frame. I lived in a farm about 10 minutes outside of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and he lived in a tiny, small town about a half an hour drive from my house. And it was, I would say it was springtime. We hadn't been dating super long. And to get between our houses, you could either take the highway, which was a little bit longer, or you could cut a few minutes off of your time if you took these twisting, turning back roads that went kind of up through the mountains, a lot of trees, a lot of farms, that kind of thing. So this one night, it was after dark. It was a clear night, and we're driving from my house to his house in his truck. Headlights are on because it's dark, and we're driving along talking. Like I said, we hadn't been dating super long, but long enough we were starting to get pretty comfortable around each other. And we come kind of up this little hill, and there is a road sign warning of an S-curve ahead. And there was this shadow that moved very quickly in front of the truck. And we could see, it's kind of hard to describe, but we could see that it kind of blocked the light from the headlights of the truck from reaching this road sign. So there was like a silhouette. There was no details or anything, but there was a definite sharp silhouette, a shape that we could see move across the front of the truck, not very far ahead of the truck, and across this road sign, and then disappeared off the right-hand side into the darkness. And this is going to sound so strange, but a recent call that you had is what kind of inspired me to call in with this story. It was the Grim Reaper, a very tall, thin, cloaked figure, and it was carrying a scythe. So that was it. That was the entire sighting. We both kind of got quiet, and we looked at each other and kind of said, "Did you see that?" And we both agreed, yeah, we saw the same thing. And I don't know, it's just something we still occasionally talk about to this day. I have absolutely no idea where he was headed to. There's nothing out there, and nothing bad happened in either of our lives, so it doesn't seem to have been a bad omen. But yeah, so thanks again. I hope you can use this story. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, caller. There's that Grim Reaper character again. Now, we've been doing the show for over 8.5 years now, and every once in a while, every 6 months or so, I get a call exactly like this one, describing some sort of Grim Reaper-esque creature, entity, or person, perhaps, sighted in a strange, empty, darkened place. Now, I'm honest in saying that I have no idea what any of that means, but part of me really enjoys the idea that maybe something like that is roaming around out there. Well, either way, we thank you, caller, for sharing your entry. And if you're out there listening and you have a story you would love to share here on the show, simply call our hotline at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Sort of your last call for hometown legends. If you got one, get it in. And don't forget, I still need those amusement worker calls for the amusement worker special. Upcoming. Now, a quick reminder that includes a lot of entertainment industries. Tour guides, campgrounds, resorts, swimming pools, zoos, stadiums, casinos, stuff like that. If you work with people that are quote-unquote amused, I'd say you qualify. Now, folks, speaking of qualifying, this next entry qualifies for downright terrifying. If you don't believe me, just ask Gerald out of Pennsylvania.
Hey, Derek. This is Gerald from Reading, PA. I've been listening to you since 2017, man. A big fan for a long time. Used to get the Cryptid Crate, too. But anyway, my family, my wife, two kids, we went to Delaware to go to the beach last summer. And on the way back, we were taking, I think it was North DuPont Highway. Probably was about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we noticed this helicopter was behind us, up in the air. It's not like too far up, but probably a couple hundred feet up. And it would go from side to side. And then it turned into a black triangle. I swear, we were so blown away. Kept looking up. And it was a chopper at 1 minute, Derek, I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, it was one of those black triangles that people always see. And it was following us for probably about 20 minutes. And we were all alone. We were so creepy, man. Probably some government aircraft or something. But it was crazy because it was just us. My kids were sleeping. My wife was driving. And there's this, like, triangle. Then it was a helicopter. Then back to a chopper. And then it was gone. It was so crazy. Like I said, I'm a big fan. I miss seeing you on Paranormal, caught on camera. I love you on air. I don't like the Ben Hansen guy. You should come back. Absolutely love it, man. Have a good one. Keep it up, Derek. I love the show, buddy. Bye.
Thank you, Gerald. Since 2017, and a Cryptid Crate supporter, I appreciate the longtime support, Gerald. Mighty nice of you. Now, what I don't appreciate is the thought of these big black triangles disguising themselves as helicopters and, you know, God knows what else. It was scary enough knowing these things could be on you in seconds, seemingly traveling at light speed. So to learn that they can sneak up on you as well, not my idea of a good time, but I still want to see one. So thanks for the taste, Gerald. Maybe one of these days.
And for space for
heat. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Had nothing.
It's not exactly close.
Now, folks, for this next entry, we take a trip all the way down to Australia, where Georgie is waiting with an entry.
Hi, Derek. My name's Georgie. I'm calling, or voice messaging, much rather, from all the way down under in Melbourne, Australia, about an incident that happened to both me and my mum back in 2016 to do with losing our family dog and hearing him from beyond the grave or beyond the Rainbow Bridge. To preface this, I'm going to say that my mum and I are very big believers in the paranormal. Definitely believe there's another worldly sort of sense out there. Like, we're very heavy believers. And for some reason, I seem to be extremely susceptible to things happening to me, which I'm sure I'll call back at one stage and send in some other stories or whatnot. But this one was just sort of the more predominant one because I experienced it with my mom. It's my only experience that I got to speak about with somebody else because they also shared it with me. So it also just comes to front of mind. So back in 2010, we adopted a dog. My family is very heavily involved in going out to shelters and rescuing dogs that are about to be put down or euthanized. So they do death row rescue. And we had this dog in our care, and it was just obvious from day one, he was my mum's dog. And they just had some otherworldly bond, like they'd been together in a past life. They just loved each other so much. And we all loved him, but mum was his favorite, that's for sure. So anyways, fast forward to about 2016, 2017, I think it was around the end of 2016, and his health deteriorated really quickly, totally out of the blue. which was unusual because he was only like 6 or 7 and he was very healthy. We'd taken him to the vet all the time, you know, got his checkups, etc. But anyways, he fell sick very quickly and it was very evident that he was in a lot of pain. And excuse my impression, but this was him for about 2 weeks. It was the whole just crying and crying and crying. And it was heartbreaking. Absolutely, I could tear up thinking about it. It was heartbreaking. He was in so much pain. He was crying. It got to a point where Mum would sleep downstairs with him every night just to make sure he was okay. In this time, he was back and forth with vets. Vets couldn't figure out like what was going on with him. And then finally, about a week or two later, they found out he had rapidly spreading a spinal cancer and that the only option was to put him down because he was just going to continue to be in pain, which for any animal lover out there, it's just the most gut-wrenching pain. I'm sure a lot of people can sympathize with that. It is just so horrible. And anyway, so that decision was made and everyone was upset. Everyone was devastated. It was just so, so horrible. Don't want to keep talking about it because it's just, it'll make me tear up. And then about fast forward a week later, my mum and I are downstairs in the living room. And just for reference, our living room is right next to our staircase, which is a totally open staircase. And upstairs, the hallway is sort of like shaped like an L. Above the living room is my parents' room. And then it sort of hits that 9-degree angle in the L and it goes the other way and up towards our rooms. All the rooms and the hallways, they're timber flooring. So you can hear anyone walk across it. You can hear a pin drop up there. So we were downstairs and all this was like late at night. Both me and my mum are night owls. This was maybe 11 or 12 at night. So back in 2017, I was about 17 years old. It was just me and my mum downstairs. And we heard the distinct cry. It was the like the dog cry. And my neck has never swung to the right quicker. I got whiplash. And we were like, oh my God, did you hear that? And she was like, tell me you heard that. My mom was like, tell me you heard that. And I was like, yeah, oh my God. And then as I said that, we heard what sounded like our dog walk around the hallway as if he was walking to my parents' room or walking to the other bedrooms upstairs. And that went on for about 10 to 20 seconds, but it felt like obviously a lifetime. And because back then I was 17, I was a lot more easily spooked than I am now. I have a lot of stuff happen to me now that I just sort of go, oh, whatever, it's a ghost. But back then I was easily spooked and even my mum was very spooked. That was crazy. And then fast forward every few months or so, my sister would say, it sounds like the dog's walking to my door. It sounds like the dog's walking to my door, which was exactly what we heard downstairs when it sounded like he was walking up and down the hallway. And we never told her about this story because she's younger than me. We didn't want to frighten her, whatnot. So it sort of just corroborated with our stories. And both me and my mum were like, wow, that's insane. And I guess kept telling her, oh, maybe it's, you know, our old dog, Louie, you know, just calming her down because she was easily scared, the poor thing. Or I was like, no, you're just, you know, it's just the floor creaking or whatever. I actually probably even haven't told her the full story yet. But fast forward maybe a year later after our dog had passed or after my mum and I had that occurrence, she went to a psychic and we've been to this psychic. Both me and my mum have been to this psychic multiple times. She's great. She's very reputable. We've always found her very good. And my mum hasn't posted anything of our dog passing. It's also been a year. No one's posted anything about it. And the first thing our psychic said when my mum walked in was, oh, you've got a dog here with you. Oh, that's so sweet. And my mum just burst into tears at this point. And what was really weird is one of the like following things she said after that to my mum was that, oh, he's with you all the time. And that he will not cross over until you cross over. So he's waiting in this limbo period, but he's attached to you in that house because you rescued him and you brought him back to that house. And he's saying, thank you very much for rescuing him. And my mum got straight on the phone to me and told me that. And I was in tears. I was like, oh my God. And it was just all these little pieces with like my sister and the psychic. It just all sort of, not that we ever doubted ourselves, but it just sort of came back and was like, wow, that did happen. You know, we're not crazy, you know. Yeah, that's my story. But yeah, thank you for giving people a platform to be able to speak about these stories without sounding crazy. I listen to your podcast. My mum listens to your podcast. Big love all the way down here from Australia. Thank you very much.
Well, big love from up here in the States as well. Thank you, Georgie, for calling in. Now we're coming up on a year since I lost my dear sweet Annabelle. My ride and die for the last 10 years. Well, she died 10 days after her 10th birthday of nasal cancer, despite every effort we could possibly make to keep her with us. So I feel your pain, Georgie, but I do admit I am a bit jealous about this. While I have had plenty of dreams in which Annie visits me, dreams that feel very realistic, I've not seen or heard anything that makes me think that her spirit is here, which I suppose I should take as a bit of comfort, because I hate to think she'd be waiting around all this time for me. Touching stuff and sad stuff, but we thank you, Georgie, for sending it in. Now, folks, before we move on, I have a very important, very quick announcement to make. If you tuned in a few weeks ago, you learned that beginning the first week of September, my team and I will release a second show per week, a Tuesday episode that will deep dive on a single subject. And based on the reaction I received about that announcement, many of you are very, very excited about the expansion. But I hope that you saved a little bit of that excitement, because I have one more announcement to share. Launching that same week, the very first spinoff in the MAU universe, Monsters Among Us Jr., an all-kids edition of the program. It will air every Wednesday and will feature calls from our younger listeners. From learning to walk to learning to drive, we cover it all at Monsters Among Us Jr. And this time, I'm not doing it alone. I'm excited to announce my co-host on this venture, our very own MAU Meemaw, Delaney Bowers. Now, folks, this is a separate podcast, so I need you to go subscribe. I've linked to the brand new show in our show notes, and it's also found over at our social media pages, or you can just search for Monsters Among Us Jr. on your podcatcher. Now, the very first episode drops on September 4th, so be sure to catch it when it falls. Now, real quick, Monsters Among Us Jr. will play exactly like the main show does. Listeners call in and we discuss the tale. And that means there is a brand new hotline, just for kids. 1-833-MAU-KIDS. That's 833-MAU-KIDS. Now, a couple of rules to that hotline. All calls must be short. Monsters Among Us Jr. has a shorter runtime than the main program, so in order to get through as many calls as we can, please keep them under 2 minutes. And all calls must be true experiences. No ghost stories, no creepypastas, nothing like that. And lastly, please get your parents' permission before you call in. We can't wait for you to join us over at Monsters Among Us Jr. But for now, let's get back to the program. This next call comes to us from the state of Arizona. Abby, welcome to tonight's program.
Hi, this is Abby from Flagstaff, Arizona. I've been calling quite a lot. I have so many spooky stories to tell over my life, and I've just been so inspired by everybody's, you know, honest reports and stuff. And so this incident happened recently. Me and my partner were walking at night, and, you know, where we live, Flagstaff, Arizona, is right by the Four Corners of the Navajo Nation. And so we have a lot of skinwalker stories and experiences and advice. I used to have Navajo roommates that would tell me, you know, different ways to keep skinwalkers away from you using ash and things like that. But So me and my partner were walking our dog, and it's nighttime. It's probably like 8 o'clock, 8:30. You know, it's summer, so crickets are out and people are watching TV and all the things, but it's dark outside. And so we start walking, and there is a woman parked with her brights on. And it was a super weird place to park. We don't have street lights or sidewalks even. And so she was just kind of like randomly parked on the side of the road. It was just kind of weird, right? And it's pitch dark outside with no street lamps and whatever. So I was kind of annoyed, but we keep walking, and we go up this hill, and we hit where the road plateaus and it goes straight. And in the distance, we hear a piercing baby cry, as if a baby just started crying in the middle of a tantrum. Now, I know the first response is going to be, well, you know, there's animals that make baby cries. We looked it up later, and none of them fit what we heard. It was probably the most real baby cry I've ever heard in my life, and I'm a child social worker of a decade. So it was odd, and it was in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden it stops, as if it had never even happened. And we're looking, and in the middle of the road, we see a tall, pale, skinny thing. It didn't look like a person. It was like too tall and thin to be a person. And we freeze in our tracks, and our dog is acting super weird. I'm refusing to move. My partner's kind of posting up a little bit, like he's going to fight it. I'm like, no, we're leaving, like right now. But we're frozen, and we hear one singular footstep. Now, this road has rocks and dirt and whatever, so you could clearly hear us walking. That's when I noticed that there were no other noises. It was silent. Again, usually people are up, people are watching TV. You know, this is a type of neighborhood. People leave their windows open, and so you can hear the TV. There's crickets, there's dogs, and it's not even that late. So it was weird how silent it was. And we hear a footstep, and then we hear the baby cry again. No other noise. And again, it was as if it was the middle of a baby's tantrum. There was no workup to it. There was no parent comforting this baby. There was no footsteps as if somebody was taking their child on a walk. It was just a baby cry in the middle of a tantrum and then silence, as if it never happened at all. It did that twice. We heard the footstep. We saw the figure. And I turned around and I started walking as fast as I could. I had such a dreaded feeling in my body. And I don't get spooked like that at night. Usually it is somebody just walking their dog. And we've seen people with their crying babies walking them before. And it's been fine. And so there are things that you expect from specific noises, like a baby cry, that just were not there. There was no parent comforting it. Again, super, super weird. And as we're walking back down to our home, in the distance, in the same direction, is a woman's piercing scream and silence. And I don't know if that was somebody. I don't know if it was the skinwalker. I don't know what it was, but it scared me to death. I was so upset. But anyways, I just wanted to know what you thought, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Abby. Strange creature. A crying baby. In a screaming woman. It would take a brave soul to investigate all of that. And I don't blame you for not wanting to do that. But I think I'd probably have called the cops on this one, just in case there was some sort of non-paranormal emergency going on there. You can never be too careful. And after all, that is what they're paid to do. So when in doubt, tell somebody about it. But that said, this was a terrifying entry, Abby. And we can't thank you enough for calling it in. Now, folks, I have to pause really fast for a few advertisements. But I'll be right back with more terrifying material.
Songs to get you through your weekday afternoons.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, based on the short description given on this next call, it sounds like it could be a wild ride. so please join me up in Canada. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Derek. I wish to remain anonymous with this story. It's kind of really bizarre. It happened around 94. I just got my first car, and a friend of mine was driving around with me, just whatever, enjoying the fact of the wheels. And we decided we were going to go look for the spot in the woods. We used to go back in high school, and this woods was supposed to be haunted. Like, there was stories about satanic rituals and murders, and KKK was hanging people there, I heard one person tell me. I really don't know what was going on with this place. I know we used to go up there and have bonfires and drink. It was a pretty popular spot on Halloween. A lot of places people thought was haunted, so there was a lot of parties that went on in these woods. Anyways, we decided to go look for the spot for something to do. We were just bored. And we went driving down the road looking for it north of the town we lived in. And I had a pretty good idea where the spot was, but I wasn't able to find this. It was a dirt road you used to drive in off the main road to get into it. And for whatever reason, we couldn't find this dirt road, which was kind of, we thought was kind of odd at the time. My friend was insisting the spot was somewhere else, and I thought, no, we're in the right location. This is where it is. Anyways, after a little bit of debating, we decided to pull the car over and have a look in the woods along the road. Because I was pretty positive this is where we used to turn in, but there was no road there. So we started walking along, and we saw there was a pathway between these cedar trees. And it led alongside into the woods a bit deeper, and we followed along. And as it turned into the deeper into the woods, there was two trees that the path passed between. There was these weird, like, I don't know, pentagrams, something carved in the trees on either side. No, I just figured some kids had done that. I mean, you know, typical teenagers. I'm sure you've seen stuff like that plenty of times before. Now, I should mention that when we were walking along, we had a bag with us, and the bag had a knife in it, and I think some lighter fluid, and a dime store copy of that Simon Necronomicon, which I don't know why we had it. We weren't devil worshippers. We didn't do that type of thing. Well, maybe I think we brought it for shock value. I don't know. It was in the bag anyways. And I think we brought the bag because a knife was in there and the lighter fluid. I think we forgot even that the stupid book was in there to begin with. So anyways, as we were walking along the woods, we came to this dam we used to cross. I think an old mill used to be there, I was told. Anyways, this was the spot that we used to go to back in high school and that we used to the fires at. So it was later in the evening, like the sun was starting, it wasn't quite going down yet, but it was getting that time. And my friend was a bit of a weirdo, and he decided it might be a good idea to take that Necronomicon book and carve all these symbols in the ground, which, given this place a reputation, would scare people. Okay, whatever. This wasn't what we set out to do by any stretch. We just happened to be out there. We looked at the bag, saw the book. He thought this was a good idea, so that's what we did. So we took the knife and started carving the symbol in the ground, you know, had a laugh or whatever, you know, about it. And as we're digging down in the ground, we found there was like something under the ground that it was hard, harder than the dirt. Now, this is the middle of the woods, right? It's not like there's a road or anything that came through there. It was just trees and that and a pathway, you know? So as we were digging down into the dirt, we found it was like asphalt. And as soon as we found the asphalt, we started thinking of these stories about satanic rituals and murders and maybe someone dump some bodies there and put asphalt on top of them to stop ground from eroding away and people wouldn't find them. This was our mentality anyways. So as we started digging the asphalt up, we started getting more and more obsessed with digging this hole. And I can't begin to explain to you why that's the case, but that's what happened. And it was getting darker now. So we lit a couple fires inside this hole so we could see what we were doing. We're digging. I guess we figured we found a skull or something we'd call the cops, right? I really don't even know what our mentality was at the time. We just were digging this hole and we were getting kind of obsessed about doing it. Well, it gets dark, and this was a dark night. There wasn't much of a moon, and we had barely any light from these two fires at this point because they weren't really shining into the hole that we're digging. So I said to my friend, why don't we go back to my house and get a shovel and a flashlight and come back and do this proper, right? At the time, it sounded like a good idea. In retrospect, it was probably pretty dumb. This whole entire story is really dumb. Like, I'm not really proud about it. I'm just saying this is what happened. I should add that I'm a pretty avid outdoorsman. I like to hunt and fish, ride ATV, that type of thing. I'm pretty conscientious about leaving fires in the woods, open fires. That's a big no-no. Like, I don't want to deal with a forest fire. I think that's horrible. People that do stupid things like throw cigarette butts down the ground, don't put them out properly. So anyways, I said to my friend, we need to put these fires out. So we took the dirt from the hole that we had dug, and we threw it on top of these two little campfires we had burned on either side of it so we could see. And this is where things start getting really, really bizarre. Because the moment the last little bit of fire was extinguished on both of them. Now, it's pretty dark in these woods. Like I said, there wasn't much of a moon, I recall. I mean, even there was even some moon. We were surrounded by trees. Like, there wasn't a lot of opening in that, and it was just dark in there. And as the last fire got put out, across this cornfield, this pathway ran alongside a cornfield as a T-section from this dam, right? So we're kind of like in the intersection between them. Across the cornfield, maybe it sounded like about a mile away, it sounded like a big dog barking, which on its own doesn't really have anything to be concerned about. Well, within a couple of seconds, it sounded like from one dog to a pack of dogs to 100 dogs, and it was getting louder and louder and louder. And it just sounded like it was a noise I can't even describe. It sounded like dogs barking and something like was getting ripped to pieces that would die. It's the best way I can explain it. And this sound was like a fan belt when it gets loose in your car in the wintertime, that squealing noise it makes. It's squealing and squealing and it's barking. And it was getting louder and louder and louder and louder. Now, back in the day, I saw the Ramones in a small club at a place you wouldn't expect to see them play. And the Ramones are one of the loudest bands on the planet. In a small club, they're twice as loud as they are in an arena. This was just as loud as that, if not louder. And it was coming across this cornfield in a matter of seconds. Like less than a minute. This thing went from a mile away. It's only a couple hundred yards away at the most. And it was coming bearing down on us faster and faster. It was getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And something snapped in my head and I turned around to my friend and I screamed at him. I'm like, what the f*** is that? Like, I mean, sorry my language, man, but that's what I said to him. He had a look of absolute terror on his face. His face is white. His eyes were bulged out. I don't think he heard me. I think he might have seen me move and look towards him and it broke the spell he was under. And he just kind of slowly looked at me and he just turned around like a shot in the woods. And the next thing I recall, we were maybe halfway from where we were to where the car was parked. It was absolutely dead silent. Not a cricket, no nothing. No late summer, you know, we expect wood sounds. This was dead silence. It went from being like louder than a friggin' Ramones concert to like just the most quiet place you ever could possibly be. And we were pushing our way. We weren't even on a path at this point. We just ran in terror right straight in the woods through the bushes and whatnot. We fought our way back to the car. I ran around the side, the driver's side. My hands were shaking so bad I could barely put the key in the lock. This is like an old 70s car I drove. I get my door open. My buddy's screaming at me, open the door, over and over again. I remember I got in the car. I pulled his side open. He got in the car. I start the car up, flip the lights on. It was one of those little pulled switches in the dash. Nothing happens. The car started, but the lights didn't come on. I didn't really even care at this point. I just stomped it, and we went flying down the road. I got maybe 100, 200 yards away from the spot, and the lights came on by themselves. Now, granted, the switch was pulled out, and they would have come on if it was working properly. And I never had a problem with this car prior to this or after. But this particular night, it took about 200 yards away from the spot. The lights came on, and everything was working fine in the car, which I thought was kind of odd. And we drove a while down the road, quiet. And I finally, at one point, I just pulled over and looked at him and said, what the hell just happened? What was that? I couldn't even believe it. And he just said, I don't know. I don't know what that was. I have no explanation whatsoever. So anyways, we went on home. I dropped him off, went home. I went to bed. The next morning I woke up. And I remember thinking maybe I dreamt it. My phone rang. And it was him on the phone. And he's like, did that really happen last night? Or did I dream it? Like he thought the same. It was so surreal to us. Like it changed both our perspectives on what we believed to be real or possible. It literally changed us. I'd never forgotten that night. This happened to me, this is like probably 94 when this happened. I can remember it like yesterday. It was absolutely terrifying. I actually went back to that spot one time after this, and I have a second story to tell you. Also bizarre, not quite as terrifying as this one, but still pretty creepy. I'll add that on. This is getting kind of long, but I just want to say I love your podcast, man. I hope you can use this story. I hope you enjoy it. Great job, man. You do a better job than you're just going to do a job as Art Bell is or did, man. You're doing really fantastic. I'm a Patreon. I love your show. Thanks a lot, man. You have a great night. Bye.
Thank you. Doing as good a job as Art Bell. That's quite the compliment. Thank you for that. And while I do love Art Bell and I've been listening to him a lot lately, I like to think of myself as different than Art. I like to think of my program as a lot different than his. But I can see why people would draw the comparison, and I'm not mad about it. Now, as for your story, we spoke a bit last week about Bigfoot and its connection with corn, field corn specifically. So what a coincidence it was that this call mentioned a creature in the corn, perhaps. No hint of a Bigfoot necessarily, but didn't get a look at what was going on out there. So I guess it could have been anything. But living up here in the mountains, I can tell you that when a pack of coyotes gets a kill, it is a terrifying sound. And if whatever they're killing isn't dying right away, well, its cries for help are nightmare-inducing. Now, I can't speak for the headlights or any of the other strange activity that was experienced that evening. But all in all, it sounded like an eventful evening. So thanks for sharing your account with us. We appreciate you giving us the time. Now, folks, I'm going to slip one more short one in here before we have to cut back to the break. So please welcome Willie from California to the show.
Hey, Derek, this is Willie from California. About 2009, I worked as a security guard at the graveyard shift for a casino up in the mountains. And my supervisor and I, we had to check, called it the pump house. I guess it was a wells for the property. And it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. And the two of us got out of the car and went to this pump house. And we heard voices. It was our job to make sure it was secure. So we called for the maintenance department to open up the door and let us in. And I waited at one door and he waited at the other door. And about 20 minutes later, the maintenance department came and let us in and there was no one there. But my supervisor and I both clearly heard someone's voice inside of the building. So I'm not sure if it was a ghost or what, but apparently there was nothing there. I don't know. All right. Thanks for the great podcast. I enjoy it very much. I've listened to the entire library several times. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Listen to the entire library several times. That's a commitment that I can appreciate, Willie. Thank you for bumping up our numbers. And thanks for giving us a phone call regarding your experience. And we did a special episode several seasons back that was all about water workers. And I believe this call would have fit right in. I don't know what it is about water. There seems to be some sort of paranormal connection to a lot of it. Well, thank you again, Willie, for sharing that brief but eerie entry.
And 5 RBI, so Adele.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The News Channel.
Lots to get to on every program.
And hot, just swept the Chicago White Sox.
Now, if you would, join me in Tennessee for this next submission. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Derek. This is Christian from Tennessee. Just calling with a story that I felt compelled to share. I'm hoping that somebody else out there has experienced something similar. Would love to hear about that. Big fan of the podcast, obviously. Love the work you're doing. But let me jump into it. So I grew up in a small town, Strawberry Plains, Tennessee. It's about 30 minutes outside of the Appalachian Mountains, Smoky Mountains. And we lived on a pretty sharp curve, and that made for some pretty bad accidents. One of the worst being this gentleman came around the curve a little too quick and ended up in our yard. He was very badly injured from the accident. My father ran down to assist. He asked for a glass of water. My dad went back into our home to get the water, and by the time he got back out there, the man had unfortunately passed away. So that was kind of the first weird thing to happen on that land. It was a pretty standard piece of property. I had neighbors on one side, neighbors on another, and then there was just pasture in the backyard and pasture across the street. So not necessarily, you know, remote, but pretty rural. There was always that sort of lingering sense of weird when you live anywhere like that. One night, this was many years later after that accident, I had fallen asleep, and I had never had a night terror before, so for me this was real. But since then, you know, I learned that night terrors are a real thing, so it was likely just that. But I woke up, and my mom was sleeping with me that night, and I rolled over, and there was an angel sitting atop her, sitting on her lap, kind of looking over her, who looked just like her, which was a strange tidbit, which scared me. So I remember I rolled over into my pillow and closed my eyes, and all I could see was a very badly injured man sort of suspended on a cross with flames behind him and crows, and it was a really ghastly scene, something that I couldn't have come up with on my own as a, I guess I was, you know, 7 or 8. I had not known about the accident, so knowing about, you know, some badly injured person on the property, I had no idea about. Never really, you know, put it together that those two might be connected until I got a little bit older. I don't really know how the cross comes into play. Fast forward that same property, a little bit later down the road, I'd say at this point I'm probably 10, 11. I have a sister now. She's 8 years younger than me, so she's very young when this happens. We're both in our respective rooms on one end of the... We grew up in a trailer, so it was a double wide. How those are set up is you've got rooms on one end, rooms on another typically. So mine and her rooms were on one end of the trailer, and my mom's was on another. And on our end, we had the crawl space that led under the foundation of the house. It was just a door with some hinges on it, but it was pretty heavy, and when you heard it close, you definitely heard it close. So one night, my sister and I are both in our beds. We both, at the same time, hear that crawl space close. So we meet in the hallway. We say, oh, what the heck? We run down to my mom's room, kind of tell her what happened. And she was dating my second stepfather at the time. So he had just left our house. So she called him immediately and said, you know, hey, Roy, the girls just heard something. Do you mind coming back? And he said, well, I haven't left the driveway. I saw something dart across the yard. And so from his perspective, he says that he had pulled out of the driveway. Our driveway was pretty long, so he got to towards the bottom. He sees this figure sort of running through our yard. So from Roy's perspective, my mom's boyfriend at the time, the figure takes off through the yard and scurries up a tree. And by the time that Roy got over there with his flashlight, he couldn't spot anything in the branches. So that was definitely a strange experience. We started staying at Roy's house a little bit more frequently after that, and eventually even ended up moving off the property entirely. The last sort of weird thing that happened that I remember is we came home to the house one day and our back door was wide open. We went through the house taking inventory of, you know, anything that might have been taken, and the only thing that we could account for being actually gone was our digital cameras. So very strange that someone might have wanted those pictures of us for whatever reason, someone or something. Still not really sure what to make of all of that. Don't know if any of it is connected even at all. Maybe it's just a string of strange stories that happened on this specific spot of land. Hard to say. Either way, just wanted to share that. Wanted to see if anybody else maybe knows anything about a guy that steals your cameras and takes off through your yard. That sounds familiar. Would love to hear about it. Thanks again, Derek. Thanks for what you do. You really give a community to us weirdos, and Lord knows we need it. All right, take care. Bye.
Weirdos are always welcome here. Thank you, Christian, for calling in. Now, I hate the idea of people losing their lives in an automobile accident, but I'm kind of fascinated by the thought of a specific curve in the road being haunted by several souls, victims of the dead man's curve. I suppose it's a romantically creepy notion, but it was a great story, Christian, and we get even more instant confirmation, because good old Roy saw something that seemed to spook him as well. Now, I couldn't tell you anything about the missing camera, but I can tell you that this was good stuff. And we thank you again, Christian, for calling in. Now, real quick, I have one more big announcement for you this evening. And I know it's only August, but Sarah tells me the pumpkin spice latte came out this week. So who says we can't launch this year's Monsters Among Us Halloween t-shirts today? This year we have an awesome comic book style Black Eyed Kids Halloween t-shirt created by the talented artist Brian J. Giordano. Just head over to our social media pages to check it out, or visit the Monsters Among Us shop to have a look and pick one up to celebrate the beginning of spooky season today. It's monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab. A big thanks to Brian for that amazing artwork. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this t-shirt. And a big thanks and props to Sarah for putting it all together. Now then, on to tonight's final entry. And this one comes to us from my boyhood home of Ohio. Candace, welcome to the show.
Hi, Derek. My name is Candace. I'm calling from a little town in north central Ohio called North Fairfield. My experience takes place in June, July of 2023. We purchased an old farmhouse that we were fixing up, and we couldn't stay there, so we were staying with my parents about 10 minutes away. And one night, it was really sunny. It was a really nice day. It wasn't too humid like some Ohio summer days can be. It was sunset, but it was still very bright outside. Like I said, it was sunny. It was a beautiful day. So we were on our way home, and at the end of our road, there's a stop sign. While we're at the stop sign, my husband and I are looking straight ahead of us, and we see this weird rectangle shape in the road, but we're too far away to completely tell what it was. So as we're getting closer, I say to my husband, I said, hey, do you see the person in the road? Because at this point, it looked like just a person walking down the road, which isn't unusual for our area. And he said, yeah, I see them. Well, as we get closer, the person just disappears. We didn't go over a hill or anything. There was no reason why this person should have disappeared. We just watched them just disappear. So he slows down. We look to see if maybe the person just, you know, went into the field. We thought maybe they needed help. Well, in the field, there was a little low part around beside the two fields in a ditch. And it was a shallow ditch, so it really, you know, wasn't that deep. And there was a very dense patch of fog in this ditch. And my husband and I look at each other and he's like, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. So we keep going down the road and I'm like, I can't stop thinking about this. He's like, neither can I. So we turn around and went back and the fog is still there. We don't see anything else, but this fog isn't moving. It's not spreading. It's just staying in this one part. So since we turned around, we went a new route home. So we are about 8 minutes away from our house, almost to my parents' house. And we see this shape in this field. It looks like a rectangle, and there is a patch of fog under it. So my husband and I look at each other. He's like, I don't want to be out anymore. I just want to be at home. So we kind of just quickly go home and we talk about it, and we have no idea what we encountered, what we saw. It was just a spherical shape, just like we saw before on the other road that then turned into what looked like a person and then disappeared, and the fog was still there. But this shape wasn't moving. It was a rectangle. I guess you would say it was like silver, but it was enwrapped in like the fog. The fog was below it. So fast forward 2 days, we're sitting on the deck enjoying the sunshine, and we hear this engine noise that winds down and then winds back up. And if you've ever watched Star Wars, when they're racing in those like big man-made cars, that's kind of what it sounded like. So my husband and I look at each other. We look in the sky. It was no clouds in the sky. We didn't see this machine that made this noise. So like 20 minutes later, we are scrolling on Facebook and the local sheriff's office says, if you find anyone or anything in your fields that don't belong, please contact us. I really wish I would have screenshot that Facebook post because they have since deleted it. But that didn't sit very well with my husband and I. Two nights later, my parents were driving about 5 minutes down the road from where we initially saw this person walking down the road. And my mom calls me and she's like, we just saw this car pull out of this path. It's not even a driveway. Where they saw this car is a little valley. There's no houses. It's just a patch of grass with a path where usually a police officer sits to see if you're speeding. So she says it was really foggy and we watched this car pull out. By the time that we got up over the hill, the car was gone. There was nowhere for this car to turn into. It was just ditches on the side. There was nowhere for this car to go. So she was freaked out by that. So her and my dad and my husband and I really don't think that it was a coincidence that they saw a car that was black at night pulling out of a dense patch of fog where there was no fog anywhere else. And I can't help but to think that maybe it was the men in black. About what the sheriffs had posted on their Facebook page looking for anything that didn't belong the days before. So that's my story. We haven't had anything like that happen since then, but I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about it. Thanks for all that you do, Derek. Bye.
Thank you, Candace. Well, let's start off with this. I did do a little bit of digging on this call. It fascinated me. So many occurrences, so many similar occurrences, and all in a cornfield in the middle of nowhere. So like I said, I did some digging, and I guess to my surprise, I found absolutely nothing. Not a single mention of anything that Candace spoke about. Now, of course, that's not to say that Candace is lying or making any of this up. It's just that no one is talking about it. Now, another thing I couldn't help but notice with Candace's entry is the correlation to a very, very famous UFO and possibly alien encounter. And the coincidental part here is that it took place only about 150 miles away from where Candace had her experiences. In November of 1966, a sewing machine salesman named Woodrow Derenberger was traveling from Marietta, Ohio, south to his home in West Virginia. And when he passed by the Parkersburg area, he noticed a strange craft parked in the middle of the interstate. Derenberger got out to investigate, where he met a man named Indrid Cold. Now, Cold was a strange-looking fella. He had pale skin, strange outfit on, and a grin that was plastered from ear to ear. But the strangest thing about Mr. Cold is that he didn't speak with his mouth and his voice. He spoke with telepathy directly into Woody's brain. Now the story gets a bit convoluted from here. They have several more run-ins, and Woody even seems to befriend Indrid Cold at a certain point. But we'll get into all of that at another date. But frankly, I couldn't help but notice the similarities between Woodrow Derenberger's account and the strange goings-on around Candace's farm. Now, outside of those coincidences, I have no proof that the two are connected. But it's certainly fun to make those assumptions. Now, my only hope here is that somebody listening may have some input on what might have been going on there in North Fairfield. So if that's you, give me a call, 888-608-NIGHT, and maybe we can get to the bottom of what's going on up there. Until then, thank you so much, Candace, for taking the time to share that story. And quite the story it was. And folks, that's going to do it here for this Grab Bag episode. I can't thank you enough for tuning in here this evening. I had a good time going through these calls, and I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did. Now, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Please give us a like and follow in social media, wherever that is. And please give us a like and follow at YouTube as well. We could really use the help over there. Don't forget, you can catch the show on the UnX Network every Saturday evening at 11 p.m. Eastern. Just visit unxnetwork.com to learn more. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you guys back here next week with a brand new installment. And until then, keep it spooky, and have a good night. Now, to catch tonight's secret entry, you're going to have to join me over in Kansas. Patrick, go ahead with your story.
Hey, Derek, this is Patrick from Kansas. This did not happen to me. This is a third-person account. Heard it from my girlfriend at the time's grandma, who we were visiting in Arkansas, and she relayed to us a story that one of her coworkers told her, and it's pretty freaky. So I'll do my best to remember and recount it as she told it. So she worked as a massage therapist in Arkansas. I'm not going to say exactly where, but it's near the Ozark Mountains. And she had a coworker who lived with her family out of town, actually in the mountains, in a house that had a big old plate glass window overlooking, you know, a holler or a valley or something. And she came to work one day, clearly distressed, and my ex-girlfriend's grandma asked her what was up, and she said that she didn't sleep well that night. She's really distraught because she got up about some crazy hour of the morning, like 3:00 in the morning or something, to get a drink of water, and she walks out into her living room. And there's her young son, I think she said he was like 8 years old or something, just staring out the plate glass window. You know, she went over to see what he was looking at, and she saw these lights in the sky that were not stars. They were, you know, for lack of a better term, they were UFOs. They were dancing around in the sky, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And that spooked her pretty good, so that's not the end of it. That seemed to dredge up a memory that she had from her childhood. Her father was a physicist who did work with the U.S. government. And I guess he had a summer home in Arizona that she would stay at during the summertime. And back behind this summer home was a pond that was kind of tucked into like a cattail marsh. And she said she would go swim back there on those hot summer days in Arizona. And one day she is walking back there and the pond itself is obscured by this cattail marsh. So the path comes around and, you know, you come around the cattails and then you can see across the pond and to the other side, whatnot. She said she came around that bend behind the cattail marshes and looked across the pond and there were these three figures standing there. She said they were tall, slender, identical, not human, but didn't really get any other details beyond that. And that was the story relayed to me. That, man, it freaked me out when I heard it. So hope you can use that. Love your show. Take it easy. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick, for sharing the story. Now, I'll come clean. I'm not a huge fan of secondhand stories, but they usually tend to be pretty good. Because if somebody's taken the time to tell someone else's story, well, there's probably some substance to it. Now, it seems like this might have been a third-hand story, perhaps. And the waters certainly get more muddied in tales like that. But come on, aliens in Kansas. What a tale. And thank you again, Patrick, for taking the time to share it here with us. Now, folks, this is the point in the evening where I go beyond. If you'd like to join us over there, it's easy, and right now it's free. Simply visit patreon.com and search for Monsters Among Us podcast. If you join the $1 level, that's $1 a month, that gets you ad-free content. That means all the main shows completely ad-free, the last couple seasons worth at least. And if you join the $5 level, you get access to all of the bonus content. That means the extension to this episode and countless others. And again, you can do it all for free using their 7-day free trial. Of course, if you like what you hear, there's no harm in sticking around for a month or two. Now, in the Beyond this week, we're doing something a little bit different. You see, I receive calls from time to time of people that have some input about someone else's entry or some further information that may help us form an opinion. And I like to call these rebuttals, even though most of them aren't actually rebuttals. It's just a clever name I came up with that doesn't seem to fit. But anyway, I got tons of them, and tonight we're going through a whole bunch of them. So sit back and relax as I play the latest round of MAU Rebuttals.
Hello, this is Nicole. I'm from Ohio. I just finished listening to season 15, episode 13, so the last episode, and there was a young gentleman that was talking about having his doorbell rung by something that looked like a hunchback, small arms, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't, you know, and there was monsters and such as things that were suggested that it could be, but the one thing that wasn't suggested was that it was just actually a real human being. You know, we don't know who lives behind every...